Let this be a time of inner reflection, not a time of intellectual debate or speculation. For the intellect is but a servant and not a master in the true nature of our being. Let our gathering then be a time of deep listening, a time of deep reflection, a time to receive instead of a time to judge. No one knows what a revelation really is, for it exceeds the boundaries and the limits of our intellect. We can only bear witness to it and open ourselves to it or close ourselves to it. Let us then be here in a sacred manner to receive, to listen, and to give of ourselves. For that is why we have been sent, every one of us, into this difficult and tumultuous world, to give what we came to give, and to restore our bonds with our ancient home, from which we have all come and to which we will return. May that presence be with us now, in the words from the greater community of life, Nasi Novare Koram, which means that the presence of the angelic host is with us. I thought today that it would be important to speak about some religious matters, because the revelation speaks of these things and gives much correction and clarification. But I'm only going to say a few things because I want us all to have an opportunity to really consider what this might mean and how this might change your view of the landscape of your life and the greater possibilities that await you. I'll start off by saying that in a universe as spectacular and as vast as the revelation illustrates, our world must be pretty important to the greater powers. For it is one of the few free worlds in our region of space. By that I mean relatively free, or trying to become free. This place has importance, and that means that your life has importance beyond your personal estimation. And this brings us then into greater matters. Or most people have been conditioned to think about God and revelation in certain ways and to distrust anyone who would claim or who could provide a revelation. A large portion of the world thinks that a revelation cannot come, as if God has nothing more to say to us, to the whole of us, to all of us. Or that a previous messenger would return, perhaps in a different form, but it would be that same individual. But messengers never return to the world that they serve. If you were to think about this, you would see why. Even on a very practical basis. There'll be no returning of the Maitreya and the Imam and the Jesus Nikar to this world. Or should they come, they would provoke violence on a level we can hardly imagine. It is not the will of the Creator that we should descend into the chaos of war and contention, especially over our very limited religious understandings and our contentious and divisive assertions. So someone new is sent that has no history, no recognition, no prestige. Because it is a new revelation and not a confirmation of a past one. And I'd like you to consider that the Creator has no obligation to fulfill our prophecies, our expectations, or our preferences. So revelations that are truly new do not do this. And those individuals who think that is a requirement are not ready for revelation. And may even contend against it when it occurs. Previous revelations still have immense value and relevance, however. But even the angelic host does not know when God will speak again. And certainly no scripture can describe that or predict that. And so when the messenger comes, the messenger faces all the tribulation, the resistance, the projections of blame, or sensational expectations of purity. And even amongst his or her followers, true followers, most people are still in a state of profound ambivalence. And they are in ambivalence because they do not know that the intellect serves the spirit and not the other way around. So the beginners at religion become fixated on the ideas and the beliefs and the principles to such an extent that they will promote them even viciously and defend them and use them oppressively over other people. But that is but the first gate in the revelation. And for those who can pass beyond it, the ideology becomes secondary. Resonance, forgiveness, practice, patience become the important things. So in the greater community of life in which we live, which is revealed to us for the first time in the revelation, a true practitioner from another world would ask you what your practice is and not what your beliefs are. Because in this greater environment of life, beliefs are so relative and circumstantial and based upon history and temperament and environment as to be perhaps interesting, but not the critical thing. It's the resonance of deeper experience and recognition that become the point of engagement. So, those who cannot hear and cannot see will argue the points and debate the issues, and call forth their lawyers who will argue brilliantly, but who cannot receive the power of that grace themselves. Take a moment and think about that. So in the new message, lots of things are taken away. Mastery is taken away. A master at this level is a beginner at but the next stage. As if they're going from one level of schooling to another. There's no vengeful God who needs praise, who seems to be a superhuman personality. It does not fit in a greater community of life, a non-human universe of a billion, billion, billion races and more. For the Lord of the universe is their God too. Judgment Day is taken away. A creation story is taken away. The end times are taken away, people. So what is our religion without all of that? It's like taking the training wheels off your bike. And now you have to balance this thing yourself and get stable on two wheels. So my burden and my blessing is to bring the word and the mystery. But I tell you, the mystery is where the engagement happens. The word is to prepare you for the engagement so that your mind is thinking in concert with your deeper nature and not simply being a great obstruction holding you at this turbulent surface of your awareness. God exists in the mystery. Let's be with that mystery for a moment. When you study Steps to Knowledge, the new message book of practices, it's preparing you for the mystery. And it's teaching you how to think in such a way that your mind can help you instead of hinder you from that most profound engagement in life. Now, right understanding is important. But right understanding is not the same as fixed belief. If you base your life on fixed belief, you'll become a combatant in life and an adversary of the presence. I don't care what you believe. And likewise, belief doesn't get you into heaven. Because when you leave this world, you won't have any beliefs, or very few. They all pass with your body and your social position. What's a belief without a body and a social position? You're just there naked, like the newborn babe, back where you started. It's very different than this. I can tell you from experience, very different. Can't even imagine it. So in the universe of countless races, belief doesn't account for much in the eyes of the greater powers that serve the one creator. That's not what they're looking for. But the right understanding helps carry you forward. Enables you to use the brilliance of the intellect in a useful and productive way. So the new message, if I could put it into a few words, and of course, a few words leaves huge gaps. I would say that the new message brings you closer to God and what God wants you to do. Closer to God and what God wants you to do. Whether you're religious or not, from any faith tradition, any culture, any nation, the poorest of the poor, the richest of the rich. So with the new revelation, the greater powers serve the Creator, watch and see who can respond. And everyone struggles to a certain extent, and that's fine, and that's necessary. But who can respond? And who will stay with the mystery, and who will revert back to the manifestation? Who will identify with their thoughts once again, only to be led back to the surface of life, where there is no depth, no meaning, and no real relationship with anything? This is why the new message is so hard for people, because it's almost like you have to start all over again. It's a pure engagement. It's not an ideological engagement. Let the theologians stand at the bottom of the mountain while the respondents begin to make the climb. And this, which seems so tough, is the great love. So what wins you over in the end is the great love. Because your heart wants it and must have it. While the rest of you struggles and comes and goes and vacillates. The great love, the great attraction of God wins you over. If you can be won over. I'm saying these things to you today because I want you to have a chance to really experience what this is and the importance of your living in a time of revelation. If what I'm saying to you is true, and that cannot be determined intellectually, then your being here is pretty important. Your being with me today, those of you in this room, those of you who are watching from around the world, it's pretty important. It's got your name all over it. You're not some stupid bystander here. Oh, I'll go check this out for myself. Don't be an idiot. This is really something for you. But I can say that, but you have to feel it. But the problem is people have forgotten how to feel. Or maybe they only feel pain, discomfort, and they really don't want to feel. They just want to be preoccupied, caught up, excited, stimulated, running around, even being responsible. I can imagine the assembly looking at down, oh, this one's being responsible. Oh, yeah. It's the same dilemma, you see. So Steps to Knowledge asks us to stop practice so we can feel and receive and get through the initial resistance. Receive, receive, receive. And that's what we're practicing here today. I'm practicing it. Maybe some of you are practicing it. I'm listening within and without. I'm waiting for the next thought to come. Doesn't matter whether I'm brilliant and eloquent and I bully you over with my excellent speech. You think Muhammad was a good speaker? Come on, people. An elocution? This is the real stuff. And while you're making other plans, or trying to, God has plans for you. And the way God is going to execute that plan is because it's already in you. At a deeper level, beneath the surface of the mind, in a deeper mind, the new message calls knowledge. Don't think this is mere intuition. This is what's going to save your life. And that's the miracle of the revelation. Salvation is not a product of belief. It's not a product of believing in one tradition to the exclusion of others. It's not the domain of the intellect at all. It's something much more elemental, primordial, and vital. Separated or reclaimed through knowledge, the new message says. So, we take the steps to knowledge, to find that reclamation and begin its long process of redemption, empowerment, and integrity. So then the emphasis becomes the practice, the application, and being able to find relationships that can support that. So I'd like to say a few things about relationships, because this must be a part of the equation. There's a step or a lesson in Steps to Knowledge entitled, Alone I Can Do Nothing. In fact, this step is repeated with slight variations in several places in the overall preparation. And what it says is alone you can do nothing because you're not alone. Now that sounds like a pretty easy idea. Like, what's the big deal about that? What that means is that you're going to need the power of knowledge to guide you. You're going to need relationships in this world who can recognize that and support it. You can't do this alone. Your beautiful, eclectic spirituality is not going to help you now. It's great for after-dinner conversations or at the tea house, but this is not what we're talking about. It does not have the power efficacy to take your life forward in a meaningful way. So the practice engages you with others and with those individuals beyond our visible range who are attempting to assist you along with many others. Don't think you have a personal angel, by the way. Your angel probably has 10,000 other people to look after. only comes around once in a while, unless you put out an urgent call. That's why God has put knowledge in you, because that's with you all the time. And that's what's going to save you. That's what's going to reunite you and bring you close to God. Because knowledge is the part of you that never left God. Let's be with that idea for a moment. So my purpose here today with you, and the purpose that carries me forth each day, is to call people to this pure engagement. And if the great traditions of the past have not been your pathway, then you're waiting for the new revelation. But not just any revelation. Because despite our egalitarian notions, the revelations come about once every millennium. Sorry. So if this is it for a long, long time. And of course, people don't want to deal with anything of that magnitude, so they're going to reduce this down into something distant and insignificant, way out there somewhere. I don't have to deal with this. So I call to you to come to the revelation, to explore it, to receive it, to experience it. You don't have to believe it, but you do need to experience it. And I tell you not to think of this as just some other teaching in the great marketplace of teachings. Because there's nothing else like this in the whole world. People tell me this. Some of them have been studying for years. Some of them just found it. There's nothing like this in the world. That's one of the signs of a new revelation. The other is that it presents things that have never been presented before. There is a lot new under the sun. It's a new sun. And it offers you a new life, a greater life, beyond the shadows and the regrets of the past. I call you to this life. But you're going to have to work for it. To undo what must be undone, to build what must be built, to have that level of honesty with yourself. Hold yourself accountable to that honesty. So I'm not going to be there standing over you. And to bring that level of honesty into your relationships, to see who amongst them can go forward with you. I call to the world because the world is in decline and is vulnerable to intervention from the universe around us now. Such an intervention is already occurring. It has been underway for some time. Everything is changing. There's no safe ground. There's only the safety of knowledge, the power of your integrity, and the strength of your relationships that provides any real security in life. It's always been like that, by the way, but now it becomes a little easier to see if you're willing to look. And I call you to that security and that strength. So this is a calling. The time of revelation is a calling. And many people won't hear. Even very good people. Maybe even your best friend. Maybe even your husband or your wife. Maybe even a great spiritual teacher in the world won't hear. Only God knows what this means. May the presence be with us. May the joy of that presence be with us. May the safety of that presence be with us. May the challenge of that presence be with us. Let us not be weak and pathetic. Let us not be miserable. Let us not capitulate to the clouds and the debris within our minds. Let us not succumb to fear, doubt, and misapprehension. We are powerful, but we must learn of this again. God's first purpose is to unburden us and to restore us before we're able to give significantly to a world in need. Let us accept this in humility and in gratitude. Nasi Novare Koram.